Now, as we're shifting the balance, it is important that we don't throw out the baby with the bath. And I think we are inclined to learn how to integrate these two things so that we can honor and delight in the beauty of the intellect without being trapped by it. As they say, the ego or the analytic mind is a beautiful servant and it's a lousy master. And you can sense, as you look at the world conditions, how the best of intellect don't solve our problems, ultimately. Because our problems require a different level of wisdom. And we have worshipped knowledge rather than wisdom. And wisdom has in it a very deep compassion. Maharaji said, "See everyone as God." The reason I'm saying all this is because you and I spend a huge amount of time in interpersonal relations. And the question I ask you, since you and I aren't going to monasteries to live our lives, since that's one of the things we do so much, wouldn't it be nice to make your human relationships the vehicle for becoming free rather than the vehicle to stay entrapped? And what is required is a shift in the way in which one looks at relationships, what they're about, what their function is. We have come out of a psychological morass. Freud and all of the personality people took us down a road. It's hard to appreciate how deep in it we are. How deep in the doo-doo of personality. How real it all is. I mean, you all think you have needs that must be met. You all think you have personality identities that must be honored. And even as I say that, I can feel you get tight, defending your right to have those things. Isn't that true? Yeah. I can feel it in myself, too. You know, I have a right to be angry. Damn right I do. We'll wait. You know, there's no rush. When you finish that trip, we'll still be here. Because awareness isn't in time. It's just here. So you want to enjoy your neurosis? Enjoy. Enjoy. Have more. Have another helping. Really climb in. Really climb in. We have gotten so thick in it, and so you're either getting into it through abuse of this or that, or you spend the rest of your life getting out of it, which is all giving it that plane of reality so much juice. And you look at your relationships from the point of view of your separateness. How will you fulfill my needs? I'll be who you need me to be if you'll be who I need you to be. Now, that kind of symbiosis, that's all fine if you don't get trapped in it. But if you get trapped in it, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare rooted in your sense of separateness. It's like feeding the illusion of the separateness, which is the root cause of the pain. So if the game is to be happy, the question is whether fulfilling your needs makes you happy. And whether fulfilling your needs makes you any happier than not fulfilling your needs. It's an interesting one. It does for the moment, there's no doubt about it. But if you notice that when you live on the realm of needs, the minute one is done, another one appears. You have a hierarchy of needs, like a motivational hierarchy. I need food. Now I need ice cream. Now I need television. Now I need a cold drink. Now I need some popcorn. Now I need to go to bed. Now these are all going on all the time. We all have needs and desires. We all have all the stuff. But just like I'm not going around being a bald man, I am bald, relatively speaking. To those of you that don't have eyes to see. But my consciousness is not full of baldness. It's an also-ran. Sure. In my hierarchy of desires, if I have yogic powers that Patanjali talks about, I'll create a beautiful head of hair for myself. That's a whim. I did it on the astral plane, so those of you that can see know. And if you see the way in which people get encrusted in their personalities, you can look at somebody and the way they stand, the way they dress, the muscles of their face, the redundancy is staggering of a person saying, this is who I am. This is who, they're basically saying, this is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. So you see helpless people going down, this is who I think I am. This is who I think I am. This is who I am. Then you see bankers, this is who I think I am, this is who I think I am. You see car salesmen, this is who I think I am, this is who I am. Laid back hippies, hey man, this is who I think I am. Hey baby, this is who I am. And everybody gives you a little matrix. They're walking down the street with these huge mind nets. And the net goes out and it catches you. And you immediately go into the, I'll make believe you are who you think you are if you'll make believe I am who I think I am. So you don't even look to see who it is. You don't see God as your only friend. You don't see that could be God in drag. No. You see who they think they are. And you respond to it. And so everybody is going into the personality realm, making it real, and then interacting. And then looking at each other, and when you think your personality is real, that's all you see when you look at other people. You don't see that other planes of consciousness. I like the image of the man in a rowboat rowing through the fog, and he hits another boat, and he screams at the other boatman, why don't you look where you're going? And the fog clears for a moment, and there's nobody in the other boat. It was just floating. And you're left with, because at that moment, the plane of consciousness shifted. There was nobody there. Well, imagine there isn't anybody anywhere. There's only one of us. There's just awareness. There's nobody. Who do you talk to? Can you and I enter into a dialogue knowing neither of us are real? Can we have needs without really thinking of them as who we are, where we're living? It seems to me that we come together through roles, through personality structures, through all these things. These are the vehicles through which we meet. These are the vehicles. The identification with the vehicle becomes a tremendous trap. And part of the yoga of relationship is to meet through the vehicle of all that stuff, but recognize that through the process of relationship, my relationship with you, let's find our way out of being trapped by that together. You help me and I'll help you. So that we can be in the roles in a kind of celebratory, free, playful way. I mean, take everything you're doing in your life, and instead of characterizing it now as need and pain and problem to be solved, like I used to be with Tim Leary, and the world would be falling apart, believe me. All the cars out in the parking lot would all be broken. These were new cars we had bought. The furnace would have exploded. We were in debt, everything. And I'd say, Timothy, we have a problem. He'd say, how many times do I have to tell you, Richard, we don't have a problem, we need a plan. It was just like a little flip of consciousness.